Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Deutsche Börse AG conference call regarding the Q3 2010 results. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Erik Müller.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today to go through Deutsche Börse's third quarter 2010 results. With me is Gregor Pottmeyer, Chief Financial Officer. Gregor will take you through our results presentation, and after the presentation, we'll be very happy to take your questions. The presentation materials for this call have been sent out via email earlier today and can also be downloaded from the Investor Relations section on our website. As usual, this conference call will be recorded and is available for replay. Let me now hand it over to you, Gregor.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's call. During this presentation, I will explain our financial performance in the third quarter of 2010, including volume trends, and give you a brief update on management's priorities. Let me start with a short overview of the results in the third quarter. Sales revenues increased slightly against the same period last year as a result of better fundamental environment. Total costs in the third quarter decreased 10% compared to the third quarter 2009 if adjusted for 12.9 million euro costs for efficiency programs. Adjusted for costs for efficiency programs, EBIT in the third quarter amounted to 257.4 million euros, an increase of 7% compared to Q3 2009. Basic earnings per share in the third quarter, adjusted for costs for efficiency programs, amounted to 92 euro cent. Compared to the third quarter 2009, this is an increase of 9%. Due to lower than budgeted volume-related and operating costs, we expect to end the financial year 2010 with total costs of around 1,150 million euro, excluding costs for efficiency programs, which is around 60 million euro below our original cost guidance. The interest cover ratio, an important metric for the excellent credit rating profile of Deutsche Börse AG, stood above our minimum requirement of 16 times in the third quarter and amounted to 16.7 times. On page 2, you can see that the sales revenue of the group in the third quarter 2010 have increased slightly against the previous year, while costs, adjusted for costs for efficiency programs, are significantly below last year's level and in line with the first two quarters in 2010. As a result, we saw an 8% increase of earnings per share. I would now like to turn to the details of the results in the third quarter on page 3. Sales revenue increased 1% compared to the third quarter 2009 to 504.3 million euro. Net interest income amounted to 15.8 million euro, in line with the level in the second quarter this year. Lower interest income due to the sale of securities with long maturities in the second quarter was offset by slightly higher short-term interest rates in the third quarter. The other operating income in the third quarter amounted to 11.7 million euro. It includes the exceptional gain from the sale of the 77% stake in Evox that I already mentioned on the second quarter results call. The gain amounted to 10.7 million euro, and was offset by reclassification of income in the Xetra segment. Retrospectively, for the first 9 months 2010, revenues generated with the operation of the trading systems for Coach have been reclassified as sales revenues. Furthermore, the other operating income saw currency effects from the changes in the US dollar-euro exchange rate. Costs for the group, adjusted for €12.9 million costs for efficiency programs, declined to €274.1 million, 10% below the third quarter 2009, and in line with the first two quarters 2010. Of total costs, volume-related costs amounted to €51.6 million, and operating costs, excluding costs for efficiency programs, amounted to €222.5 million. While operating costs were broadly stable against the second quarter 2010, they were significantly below the level in the third quarter 2009. This is mainly due to the lower regular amortization of intangibles in the context of ISE, as well as measures under our ongoing efficiency programs. The result from equity investments in the third quarter amounted to minus €0.7 million. While the three main components of the result from equity investments, Scotch Holding SA, Direct Edge Holding LLC, and European Energy Exchange AG, continued to contribute profits, there were impairments on smaller equity investments like ISE's stake in Ballista Securities. EBIT in the third quarter, adjusted for costs for efficiency programs, amounted to €257.4 million, an increase of 7% compared to Q3 2009. The net financial result in the third quarter includes the effect of lower financial expenses relating to the partial redemption of our hybrid bond in the second quarter. Net income, adjusted for costs for efficiency programs, amounted to €171 million. Finally, the adjusted earnings per share in the third quarter stood at 92 Eurocent. I'm now turning to the individual business segments, starting with the Xetra segment on page 4. While the economic environment has improved, volatility levels have fallen compared to last year. On this basis, the order book volume on the electronic trading system Xetra increased by 2% compared to the prior year, while volumes on the Frankfurt trading floor declined 13%. Moving on to the financials of the Xetra segment on page 5. Adjusted for the deconsolidation of Scotch at the end of 2009, Xetra sales revenue in the third quarter increased 2% year over year to €63.3 million. Adjusted for the reclassification of other operating income into sales revenue in the third quarter declined 1% year over year. The sales revenue in basis points of the order book volume for trading on Xetra and clearing improved slightly compared to the second quarter this year, reflecting lower volumes and thus lower average rebates. EBIT for the segment, adjusted for cost for efficiency programs, amounted to €27.3 million. Compared to €30.4 million in the third quarter 2009. Turning to the volume development of Eurex on page 6. The total number of traded contracts in the third quarter 2010 declined by 11% year over year to 564 million. While Eurex volumes increased 4%, volumes in U.S. options declined 36% year over year. The Eurex volume development was mainly driven by A, lower equity market volatility and underlying cash equity volumes in the third quarter, and B, continuing growth in fixed income derivatives volumes compared to 2009 in light of speculation around inflation and potential changes of long-term interest rates. At ISE, the volume development on the one hand was driven by the weak overall development in the U.S. equity options industry in the third quarter, with total volume declining 6% year over year. On the other hand, ISE market share in the third quarter stood 9 percentage points below the previous year. Adjusted for dividend trades, the gap still amounts to 8 percentage points. While the market share of ISE has stabilized around 20% since March this year, the overall market activity continues to be subdued. Furthermore, regulatory approval of ISE's contingent crossing functionality and the clearing link is still outstanding. Therefore, the likelihood of a further impairment of other intangible assets relating to the ISE acquisition has increased in the third quarter. In case the business prospects for ISE do not improve sustainably, Deutsche Börse expects to recognize an impairment loss on the other intangible assets in the fourth quarter 2010. Sales revenue at the Eurex segment, shown on page 7, amounted to 196 million euro in the third quarter 2010. Compared to the same period in 2009, this is a decrease of 2%. On the positive side, revenues per contract stood at 29 euro cent in the third quarter. The increase compared to the second quarter is due to the lower share of single equity products post the dividend season in Germany. Revenues per contract for index and fixed income derivatives have remained stable. Revenues per contract for U.S. options have also remained stable in U.S. dollar, but declined in euro due to the weaker dollar in Q3. Adjusted for cost for efficiency programs, the EBIT for the segment stood at 100 million euro, which is broadly in line with the third quarter 2009. I am now turning to page 8, which shows the development of the settlement and custody activity in the Clearstream segment. The average value of securities held in custody in the third quarter increased by 3% year over year to 10.9 trillion euro, broadly in line with the strong second quarter. Higher equity market valuations in the domestic market, as well as higher levels of bonds under custody in our international market, continue to be the main drivers of the custody business. The number of settlement transactions rose by 3% compared to the third quarter 2009 to 26.3 million due to an increase in international OTC transactions, which is mainly the Eurobond business. Moving on to the development of financials in the Clearstream segment on page 9. custody sales revenue increased by 3% year over year to 113.7 million euro. Due to a change of the product mix that saw a higher share of lower priced internal transactions, settlement sales revenue decreased slightly year over year to 26.5 million euro. GSF outstandings in the third quarter increased 10% to 534 billion euro, while the corresponding sales revenue increased 6% to 17.7 million euro. Net interest income from banking business stood at 15.8 million euro in the third quarter. As mentioned earlier, the stable development against the second quarter is due to the higher overnight interest rates that were offset by a decrease of interest income due to the sale of securities with longer maturities in the second quarter. Cash balances in the third quarter 2010 were stable at 6.9 billion euro, compared to 5.7 billion euro in the third quarter 2009 and 7 billion euro in the second quarter 2010. In total, revenues of the Clearstream segment amounted to 205.6 million euro, an increase against the third quarter 2009 of 1%, despite the year-over-year decline of net interest income. The third quarter 2010 is the first quarter since Q1 2008 that showed growth of the Clearstream revenues, including net interest income. EBIT in the Clearstream segment, adjusted for cost for efficiency programs, amounted to 88.9 million euro. Moving on to page 10 and the market data and analytics segment. Sales revenue in the third quarter increased by 22% to 55.2 million euro. The main driver for the revenue increase was the full consolidation of stocks since the first quarter 2010. Adjusted for consolidation effects, sales revenue of the segment still increased by 7%. The EBIT in the market data and analytics segment, adjusted for cost for efficiency programs, amounted to 41.2 million euro and includes a 10.7 million euro book gain from the sale of Avox. Let me now turn to page 11 and subsequent pages to talk about our continued focus on growth initiatives and operating efficiency while maintaining our strong financial position. First, we remain focused on growth opportunities within each of our business segments. Second, we will continue to work on further improving our operating efficiency through strict cost discipline and tax efficiency. Both initiatives are well underway to deliver the targeted improvements. Third, in the context of capital management, we will continue to focus on retaining our strong financial position and our excellent credit rating profile. Slide 12 gives you an overview of the development of selected growth initiatives across all segments of the group. On Xetra, ETFs, and the related products like exchange-traded commodities and exchange-traded notes have grown consistently throughout the last couple of years, reaching 145 billion euro of assets under management and an order book volume of 13.9 million euro on average per month in the first three quarters 2010. This corresponds to 14% of the total order book volume on Xetra. On Eurex, the number of contracts traded in two new product groups, the dividend and the volatility derivatives, has increased significantly since 2008. While the contract volume is still relatively small, the higher fee per contract for dividend derivatives, for instance, has resulted in an increase of the revenues per contract for index derivatives in general. In the first 9 months, the dividend derivatives contribute around 3% of the sales revenue in the index derivative segment. In the Euro-GC pooling business, which is jointly operated by Clearstream and Eurex, outstandings continue to grow nicely and reached a new record of 109.4 billion euro in September this year, up 36% against last year. Finally, at Market Data and Analytics, we have seen a nice pickup of the sales revenues generated with our Alpha Flash product for macro data that delivers non-financial data in a machine-readable format to automated trading applications. On page 13, I would like to update you on the group's operating efficiency measures. Out of the originally for 2011 expected 85 million euro of cost savings, we have already realized around 25 million euro this year. The savings result, for instance, from the renegotiation of contracts with suppliers at Clearstream. As already discussed last quarter, this impact is visible in form of lower volume-related costs at Clearstream. Furthermore, we will already achieve savings in operating costs in 2010 that were originally expected for 2011. As presented during the second quarter call, the costs for efficiency programs are expected to amount to less than 200 million euro. In the first 9 months 2010, we realized 122.7 million euro as costs or provisions for efficiency programs. For the remainder of this year, we are not foreseeing any further costs or provisions. The remaining costs for efficiency programs are expected to incur until 2013, mainly in 2011 and 2012. As promised during the second quarter call, I would now like to provide you with more details regarding the anticipated cost performance in 2010. Based on the strong cost performance in the first 9 months of 2010, we now expect total costs of around 1,150 million euro for 2010. As always, this is before costs for efficiency programs. The better than originally anticipated cost performance is on the one hand due to the 25 million euro accelerated cost savings. On the other hand, the volume-related costs in 2010 are expected to be around 35 million euro below our original budget. This is mainly relating to lower than expected volume growth in 2010, mainly at Clearstream. There are further cost drivers in 2010 that we did not anticipate in our budget, such as the stronger US dollar and the release of some provisions. However, those drivers largely offset each other. Therefore, they are not shown in this waterfall chart. As part of the annual planning process, the Executive Board is in the final stages of preparing the budget for 2011. As every year, we will present our budget proposal to the Supervisory Board at year-end for approval. However, I can share some general thoughts on the cost budget 2011 with you. On the one hand, the expected 60 million euro incremental cost savings from the ongoing efficiency measures will be a positive effect. This figure is derived from the originally planned 85 million euro, less the accelerated cost savings of around 25 million euro that already occurred in 2010. On the other hand, we would expect some offsetting factors. First, an expected increase of cost due to inflationary pressures. In the past, this used to be an amount of around 20 million euro. Second, we expect growth in our business next year, and therefore volume-related costs are set to increase, mainly driven by Clearstream. Third, we anticipate to further increase expenditures for growth initiatives and infrastructure in order to seize opportunities arising from the changing regulatory environment and new customer requirements. I hope for your understanding that we cannot say more on costs for next year before formally discussing the subject with our Supervisory Board in mid-December. In the context of the capital management policy shown on page 15, we will continue to focus on retaining our strong financial position and our excellent credit rating profile. We consider our capital position as sound and do not expect a significant change in capital requirements in the foreseeable future, given that we are largely operating a transaction-based business model. In accordance with our capital management policy, we generally envisage to distribute 40 to 60% of the IFRS net income, adjusted for exceptional items like the cost for efficiency programs. With this, I conclude my presentation. We are now happy to take your questions.
The question comes from Daniel Jarrett from Barcap. May we have your question, please?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Daniel Garrett from Barcap here. A couple of questions, if I may. The first was on the ISE impairment. Just wondering if any color around sort of perspective size of that. Obviously, it was, I think, sort of gross about 400 last year with a net 200 charge. Do we anticipate there would be a tax credit in the same way that would reduce the net impact of any impairment there? And linked with that, taking the impairment at this juncture when the technology is just about to sort of be upgraded for ISE, can you give any indication about what that says about expectation of timeline to do the initiatives that it would hope would arrest market share decline, technology being one, but also the crossing function and the Eurex clearing link? Is there an expectation that in the short term the market share could continue to dip on that front? Secondly, just a technical question. I didn't quite understand the detail on the reclassification of Scotch revenues out of other and into Xetra. So I wondered if you could just clarify for me how much of that is a one-off and sort of what might be the run rate boost to the Xetra division from sales of Scotch ongoing. Thank you.
With regard to your first questions, a potential ISE impairment, you asked the question whether we would see the same tax credit. The answer is yes. if there would be impairment in Q4 2010, then we would see some offsetting of this impairment by a reduction of the deferred tax liabilities in the same relative way we have seen in 2009. Question with regard to the technology we want to implement at the ISE. There you ask whether there would have some effect on the market share, whether there would be a dip. My understanding is that it's just the opposite. So we are more competitive with this new trading platform, and therefore when it's full running, so that is the assumption that first we have to increase it from one symbol to 100 symbol of all of it, and when we have fully implemented the system, then we have a better technology than today. The latency will go down. We are much more flexible, better time to market. So overall, this will help to support our market position.
Sorry, so I meant more the delay to when that is introduced and the delay on other initiatives, the clearing link and the crossing, in the meantime before they come in. I appreciate the new technology would hope would improve market share, but in the meantime before those initiatives might come to fruition, is there an anticipation the market share could dip further?
No, we don't expect that the market dip, that the market share would dip further. So currently, we think we have reached the bottom here, and therefore the technology will help us to
okay.
increase our market position there. And the third question, are you asking?
Yes, third question then. You're right, there was around 4 million in revenues that we took from the other operating income now into sales of the Xetra segment. So there's a reclassification. The background to this is that Scotch is now an associated company. We deconsolidated as of 1st of January this year, and now we treat Scotch as any other third party where we deliver technology, and those revenues from the technology delivery are booked as sales in the Xetra segment. Now, again, Scotch we treat in the same way. So the 4 million does include the catch-up, so to say, or the entire first 9 months. The reclassification was done in the third quarter, so let's say it's 1.3 million or so a quarter that going forward you I would expect to see higher sales revenue in the Xetra segment.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Bruce Hamilton from Morgan Stanley UK. May we have your question, please?
Yeah, thanks. Afternoon, guys. Just sort of following on from that question on ICE, could you just sort of remind us in terms of the impairment and the way the credit rating agents look at your kind of balance sheet and your ability to distribute, would this have any bearing on that, or is it simply the coverage test and the coverage test alone that we should look at, i.e. I assume in the past when I've spoken to them they also look at kind of tangible equity, but I just wanted to double check that. And then secondly, on your sort of cost guidance, I know for 2011 obviously you can't say because it's not decided yet, but if I've understood, what you're basically guiding to is that whilst we get 60 million of savings, there'll be, let's say, 20 million potentially of inflationary cost pressures, potentially a reversal of the 35 million or so of savings on volume-related costs going into next year. And I think you said an increase in investment costs versus this year, i.e. you're basically saying it might not be much better than flat. Is there any bit of that that I've misheard?
All right, let's start with the first question. How would the rating agency look at this? So we have two key metrics, what is also relevant for the rating. So the one is the interest cover ratio, and as you are aware, it's defined at the EBITDA in relation to our interest expenses. So we would exclude a potential impairment via this depreciation amortization, so this number will not be impacted by a potential impairment. So far, no impact on interest cover ratio. The second key matrix you also mentioned was is a tangible equity, and therefore also this tangible equity, when we define it as total equity minus goodwill plus minus goodwill intangible assets plus deferred tax liability, so that's the way we look at tangible equity, then a potential impairment loss would also have no impact on the tangible equity. So when we do not see an impact on these basic key metrics, then my expectation is that we would have no impact on our rating.
Right.
So that is with regard to ISE, the first question. The second question, with regard to the cost guidance 2011, yes, again, I can confirm the 60 million euro additional savings in 2011 will be offset by the three elements. Yes, inflation of 20 million euro, that's our experience in the past. And as I mentioned, we want to grow in our business, and volume-related cost is basically relevant for our Clearstream business. Yes, we also want to grow in our Clearstream business. But again, I don't want to give you guidance what is our sales expectation for 2011. So we just said that there is an increase. With regard to the major strategic project, our investment there, our expectation is that we increase our expenditures in the next year, so this increase will also offsetting a little bit the 60 million euro, but overall I can't give you currently more guidance with a concrete number, because we will discuss the budget in mid of December with our supervisory board, and after this discussion, we are able to give you more guidance.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Martin Price from Merrill Lynch UK. May we have your question, please?
Good afternoon. Yes, in your presentation, I see you stated an objective of developing new clearing solutions for OTC derivatives. I was just wondering if you could give us some more detail on exactly where you see the main opportunities in this regard. Do you get a sense that there's still an opportunity for you to go after the credit derivatives and interest rate swap markets, or is your focus now likely to be on other areas and other products? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question. We have so far only publicly talked about our offering in the credit derivatives area, where obviously we are reliant on market participants taking up that offering, which hasn't yet happened. On the way forward, we believe that we have the right technology in place and the right risk management that Gregor, the capabilities that Gregor spoke about earlier. We have all the ingredients, if you will, to extend our clearing offering to other asset classes, but we'd like to do that in consultation also with the market participants, and we are aware obviously that there is that there are different pockets of the market that one might address. You mentioned a couple. There are others that are of potential interest. Our observation here is that there is really also confirmed by the changes or the coming changes in the regulation, both in Europe and the U.S., that the new regulatory world, there will be demand for clearing in a lot of different OTC asset classes, and obviously we have so far only spoken about one, so a clear yes, we can imagine and will expand our offering in this area, but it would be wrong now to give on this call our order of priority for these asset classes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Christian Muschig from Sevier Quant Research Germany. May we have your question, please?
Hello, everybody. It's Christian Mosche, Xavier Quant Research from Frankfurt. I have three questions. So the first one is, so I somehow missed your answer concerning potential range of an impairment, so size. The second is, could you confirm that such an impairment wouldn't have any effect on dividend or your dividend considerations? And the third one is, so there's still the one or other rumors going direction, potential capital increase to recapitalize Clearstream. Can you rule that out for the near term? Thank you.
Okay. Starting with your first question, so you didn't miss the guidance of a potential size of a potential impairment test. So far, currently, we did not do this analysis. We will do it in our normal annual closing process. And so far, currently, we are not able to give you a guidance with regard to a potential size of this impairment. I just can tell you that currently our other intangible assets relating to ISE amount to roughly 900 million euro, and that is our book value. And that's the only what I can say to this point. Second point, impact on dividend policy. So in general, I think you are aware that we have a general policy to distribute 40% to 60% of the IFRS net income to shareholders via dividends. And you saw earlier this year that we adjusted our IFRS net income for non-cash items in determining a dividend distribution ratio of 66% for financial year 2009. So in 2009, we looked through this.
Mm-hmm. So you will do once more, basically, so most probably.
Again, I ask for your understanding that the dividend proposal for the financial year 2010 has to be formally decided by the ExCo and the supervisory board as part of our normal year-end closing process. Mm-hmm. With regard to potential capital increase on Clearstream side, I don't see it currently.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
The next question comes from Alexandra Hendricks from Deutsche Bank Germany. May we have your question, please?
Thank you very much. Two questions. The first is, we are seeing some form of planned consolidation in Asia. I was wondering whether that has any effect of your relative preference of organic versus acquisitory growth. And the second question, you're indicating higher investments for next year. Already this year there was an increase in the amount you spend for investments. Is the new level that we're going to see 2011 a new normal? Yeah, do you need to spend more to protect your current revenue base? Or is it a more cycle effect that you expect to consolidate post-2011? Thank you.
All right. Your first question relates a little bit to what are we planning with regard to organic or inorganic growth. And so far, our first priority is organic growth, but naturally we also pay close attention to changes in the exchange industry landscape. Nevertheless, organic growth can be complemented by external growth options if they make sense from a shareholder perspective as well as from a customer's or company's point of view. And with regard to the situation in Asia, so I can just say that we are obviously also closely following all the developments in the exchange industry, but our policy is not to comment on individual situations. This your second question with regard to the strategic investment in 2011. Is this yes? I can again I confirm that we have an increase in the expenditures in strategic projects, and we will increase it compared to 2010 this year in 2011. Your question is this a new normal? Currently, I mentioned at the beginning of the call that we decided to replace our also our Eurex trading platform. So this is a one-time decision to do this. Therefore, we have to look year by year what are changes in our competitive environment, what are changes at the on the regulation side, and therefore, from my side, it's too early to say that it's now a higher level we need to defend for the next years. We as an ExCo go in the direction to invest more in 2011, and what is necessary for 2012, we will think about mid of next year.
Okay, if I may, a follow-up question on the M&A part. The experience that you have made so far post the acquisition of ISE, what are the lessons learned from that when you consider M&A going forward?
With regard to ISE, you can argue, okay, we have acquired it on a price level what was too high, but on the other hand, I can challenge you, were we able to foresee the financial crisis, what happened in 2008? So, and you can also compare it with the stock price development of other exchanges. So when you do this analysis end of 2007 compared to the current situation, then you will find out that a lot of exchanges has lost more than 50% on the stock prices there. And so far, when you calculate and compare this with the depreciation we did on an ISE level so far, then it's clearly far, far below this level of more than 50%, just to give you the right perception to this topic when we talk now again about a second potential impairment of ISE in the fourth quarter in 2010. Nevertheless, we have a clear guidance and policy with regard to M&A. There are clearly that it has makes sense from a strategic point of view, so it has to fit to our overall strategy. Secondly, it has to fit to our financial requirements, where we have clear criteria when we would do an M&A transaction. So we have internally clear guidance, and now you can also say it, lessons learned out of former acquisitions. Yes, we have this.
Yeah, that was really the purpose of the question. It wasn't to imply that ISE was particularly expensive or so. It was just, as you mentioned, was it foreseeable, or to what extent are maybe exceptional events incorporated in future decision-making regarding M&A?
Yes, and therefore I said that we have internal guidelines under which circumstances we are interested in an M&A acquisition.
Yeah, understood. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Johannes Thormann from HSBC Germany. May we have your question, please?
Good afternoon, everybody. Johannes Thormann, HSBC. Two questions, please. On ISE, a bit different. I'm missing countermeasures or new strategic initiatives to change this uphill battle in the U.S. market back to an equal level playing field. What are your plans concerning this, and would be helpful to get an understanding of that. And secondly, could you be a bit more specific on the delta of the maximum 67 million extraordinary costs which could be still coming in 2011 and 2012? Would it be equally distributed or more in 2011 or whatsoever? Thank you.
Okay. All right. With regard to the countermeasures of ISE management currently, so there are two big things what we are currently negotiating with the SEC. So the one, on the one hand side, we are negotiation to get back the approval for our crossing functionality, what was really important and profitable business segment when it was stopped by the SEC in summer 2009. We are confident that we will get this approval within the next weeks, but it's hardly or it's difficult to say when we really finally get the approval. That is the first topic we are negotiating with the SEC. The second topic is that we try to get the approval for the OCC or westbound link so that the Eurex customers are able to trade ISE products. So that would also help to improve our performance. Then in addition to these two SEC filings, we introduced in spring this year a new maker-taker pricing model, what is so far quite successful, so it helps to stabilize our pricing level so far, and it's well accepted in the market. We try to find new cooperations with market makers, like we found Knight Securities at the beginning of this year. We try to develop new products, so we invest a lot to identify this countermeasure and that we are able to show growth within the next years. Second question, the extraordinary restructuring cost. You can see in the slide that we assume for 2011 and 2012 roughly 30 million euro restructuring costs out of this roughly 200 million euro implementation cost.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining today's call. This brings us to the end, and we all wish you a good rest of the day. Thank you. Bye.